Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
How's it going, everybody? This is the Famous Dead People podcast, the only podcast that resurrects famous people from the grave and asks them all the hard questions. I am your host, Jarrett Berenstein, and today we have legendary 20th century American baseball player Lou Gehrig and 17th century German astronomer Johannes Kepler. Fascinating talk, hilarious episode. Stick around for a little cute bonus content at the end, as we are sometimes wont to do. A couple of quick notes before we get to the episode. Guys, we are in the last stretch of my improv team, Junior Varsity. We have been around since 2007, and we are ending our legendary run at the Magnet Theater. So you only got six shows left to come check us out. Our last show is going to be on January 31st, the last Thursday, but you can see us every Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Magnet Theater up until then, so swing by one of these Thursdays and come check out our last show ever. Also, you can check out the freshest eps of Famous Dead People every Monday at 3 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn. Email us at famousdeadpeople@radiofreebrooklyn.org. Buy my book, The Kellyanne Conway Technique. Rate and review the podcast, and of course, check out jarrettberenstein.com for all the latest updates on projects and upcoming shows. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy Johannes Kepler and Lou Gehrig only on Famous Dead People.
Famous Dead People.
It's time.
Famous Dead People.
Time to start the show.
Famous Dead People.
Famous Dead People. People you know.
Famous Dead People.
Famous Dead People.
Famous
with stories
people.
Stuck in their heads.
Famous
you're gonna
dead
hear
people.
Awful from me, even though all these people are dead.
My guests today on Famous Dead People are early 20th century baseball player renowned for his prowess as a hitter, voted the greatest first baseman of all time, Lou Gehrig.
Hello there, Lou Gehrig here.
And 17th century German mathematician and astronomer, best known for his laws of planetary motion, Johannes Kepler.
Hello, here in the flesh.
Mr. Kepler, Mr. Gehrig, thank you so much for joining us here on Famous Dead People.
Of course,
it's an honor. Yeah.
So excited.
Let me start off with Mr. Gehrig, if I may.
Sure.
So in addition to being one of the greatest baseball players of all time, you're also probably the most famous example of somebody afflicted with the disease ALS, so much so
right.
That we refer to it as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
Obviously. So my first question about that, were you alive when they started referring that disease as Lou Gehrig's disease? Like, was there any point in your life, maybe towards the end of your life, when you heard it, somebody be like, call it Lou Gehrig's disease?
Right. No, so, you know, my immediate family would call, I had the disease. So Lou Gehrig's
yes.
disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, if you had a cold, it'd be Jarrett's cold. Jarrett has a cold.
I'm trying to think.
You have a cold.
Would people refer to it that way?
So, like, well, my family is a peculiar crowd.
Okay.
We like to name things after each other. We do. So we had a deli growing up in our neighborhood. It was a corner deli.
Oh.
And that's what I wanted my name to. Well, I had a famous sandwich that I'd get there growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was bread, like any good sandwich.
Okay.
Layered with mozzarella cheese.
Mm.
Tomato sauce and a chicken cutlet.
Ooh,
and then another layer of bread on top.
That sounds good.
That's the sandwich that I want. That was at the deli that was referred to as the Lou Gehrig sandwich.
Okay.
That was a big thing. People would go in and order. My family would go in. And my dad had one. My mother had one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Similar sandwiches.
Wow.
So you're saying that your family were the first people to call it Lou Gehrig's disease. Do you think that's the reason why it caught on? Is because your family was telling everybody like about...
You
Lou
know.
Gehrig's disease?
Well, gosh, I hope not. You know, I'd hate to attribute that to my family. I really wish that I was remembered by something else, you know, in that way.
Well, I mean, you're certainly a notable baseball player. Like, people know your record and everything.
But they don't call it Lou Gehrig's game. You know, Lou Gehrig's
yeah.
position.
Mm.
Lou Gehrig's bat.
Yeah.
You know, that's not... I'm known for other accolades and whatever, but the disease is what's mine.
I gotta say, in popular culture, we do sort of first think about Lou Gehrig through Lou Gehrig's disease, I would say, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, and, you know, that is a shame because you had an incredible record. It's something that should be celebrated.
Well, thank you.
So when the doctors explained to you that you had this disease,
yeah.
was there another person that was, like, the name of that disease who you then usurped because you were more... famous than that person? Like, well, did they say ALS when they told you the disease, or were they like, this is Gary Wilson's disease?
So it's funny you ask this. This is a story that hasn't really been touched much, and it's not necessarily confirmed, but it's something that I believed, and I think my family's believed as well.
Okay.
So my doctor actually had Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was patient zero of ALS, of Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh my God!
Right, his name was Dan Wilkerson.
And
to that point, people had called it, oh, the disease Dan that Wilkerson's Dan Wilkerson disease. Has. They didn't put it a possessive. They call it the disease that was afflicting Dan Wilkerson. And so everything was going to be shortened to the disease that was afflicting Dan Wilkerson. And so when I caught the disease, I think my doctor was thrilled. I think Dr. Wilkerson was out of his mind thrilled
that somebody else was going to have the name associated with this disease.
That's correct. So when my family started putting the name to it like they would, the doctor did nothing to stop them. I mean, he would almost prompt them. He'd say, oh, Lou Gehrig is doing poorly with his Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm-hmm.
He'd double it down.
Yeah, he's sort of like, he's spoon-feeding this idea to the public that we're calling this Lou Gehrig's disease now, right?
Exactly.
Interesting. I would think that a doctor, particularly one who had the disease, would be proud to have his name on. So, like, I'm going to live on in infamy from now on.
And that's what you think, but Dan Wilkerson grew up in the same neighborhood as I, and he frequented the same corner deli. Now, you might know, I'm surprised you didn't, have a reaction before it. His name. He's known for his sandwich is it's the Dan Wilkerson. It's a slice of bread.
Okay.
And then oven roast turkey.
He's got a sandwich.
He's got a sandwich of the same. But it's very pervasive. white bread, roast turkey, bacon, lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
Turkey. Mm-hmm. Another slice of bread.
Mm.
Bacon, lettuce, tomato. Another slice of bread. And they stack it in three. Usually they serve it with fries and coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Dan Wilkerson. You guys haven't had a Dan Wilkerson.
I mean, we call that the club sandwich now. Have you had a club sandwich, Johannes?
Have I had a club sandwich?
A club sandwich, yeah.
The answer, of course, is yes. Are you kidding?
I feel bad.
All of this talk makes me so hungry.
We'll definitely have to get some food after this. I'm sorry, there's no craft services in here.
No, yeah.
I feel bad for this Dan Wilkerson guy. That sandwich, we call that the club sandwich now. We call this disease the Lou Gehrig's disease, and we call that sandwich a club sandwich now. Yeah,
I was wondering. I kept ordering the Dan Wilkerson recently, and no one knew quite what I wanted.
Oh, that is a shame.
You think it's the exclusive club, but it's not that exclusive,
right? Well, when I think club, I think I would think they named my sandwich. Do you know what the Lou Gehrig's been called?
No. Would they change the name to Lou Gehrig's sandwich?
Well, I don't know. It's bread.
Bread with
mozzarella cheese,
okay.
Tomato sauce,
right.
And a chicken cutlet.
I think it's parm. Ooh. That's a chicken parm, right?
Yeah, that's a
yeah, we would
chicken,
call that chicken parm. Now.
Chicken parm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chicken parm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Short for Parmesan.
Parmesan. Well, that's okay.
Does that mean
Parmesan?
Mine's mozzarella, so it must be a different sandwich. But that sounds good.
Well, they call the chicken parm because there's parm in it, but there's generally mozzarella on it. Yeah.
I don't know if that tracks, Jared. I'm not sure, but I'll check it out.
Well, we can Google that after the show.
Yeah.
But that is interesting. Going over to Johannes Kepler for just a moment.
Yo.
So, as I said in the intro, you are best known for your laws of planetary motion. You came up with the idea that all planets move in ellipses.
Yes, that is correct, Jared.
Yeah.
Here I am.
But what I found most interesting was that you, according to Wikipedia, you incorporated religious arguments into your work.
Yes.
So, for example, other religious scholars believed that the sun revolved around the earth because, God made the earth and man and we're the most important thing, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But you believe that the planets revolved around the sun, and you use religion to argue that that wasn't, against God's plan. That's, part of God's plan. Is that right?
Yes, I believe I was sent here to tell the people of this world that plan. And I would pray to God when I was a child because I was... not many people know this, but I was also very sick when I was a child.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Just to triple back, I'm still hungry from before. but I was a very sick child, and I would pray, and God would tell me, you have to say this plan to everybody.
You have to tell everybody.
I was a bit of a rebel with the other scientists. But I felt it was my duty.
You said you were a rebel because you were incorporating religion into your science.
Right. Nobody else really understood that concept.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And I felt it was necessary. We have to give praise, if you will, to mm-hmm. God for this planet.
Mm-hmm. And so I assume you call that the Kepler then, the Kepler's method?
Oh, the praying?
Well, Johansky, yeah. Well, any of it is.
Oh, anything I do, yes, is the Kepler. Okay. Yes, Kepler, you always have to have your name. I wish I had the disease named after me.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
The Kepler pox.
I honestly,
you know, like chicken pox.
I don't know. We do refer to something as like the Kepler something.
Oh.
As far as like astrophysics is concerned. I forget what it is. Exactly,
I forget too,
though,
to be honest with you.
but yeah, that's fascinating. Would you say that you were then like a little, like kind of a bad boy in the science community because you were incorporating religion?
Mind-wise, my mind.
In
yes,
your
but
mind.
Not physically. You know, I was never very good with the ladies.
If okay.
The ladies.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm a little jealous of Lou over here. He seems like a physically fit gentleman,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. Probably had your pick of the litter there, Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, I, you know, I did. I got around.
Oh, my goodness,
got around. It's uh-huh. a small block.
Because I didn't see anything on your Wikipedia about your personal life.
Right.
You know, it didn't seem like you were the kind of guy to like, you know, pal around with celebrities.
Right. Well, Joe stole all the spotlight.
Movie
with
stars.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a while, you were, you know, sort of like hidden under the bush of Babe Ruth and. You know, but you know,
I love that candy bar, the Babe Ruth.
It's delicious.
Oh,
it's great.
A candy bar.
Another thing named after Babe Ruth, a person.
Wow.
You know,
he gets a candy bar.
Yeah. That's,
okay.
And we don't call that anything else. We just call that the Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
You know.
Really?
Yeah. There's
so
no
good.
Other name to that.
Not Babe Ruth's candy.
No, not Babe Ruth's.
Babe Ruth. Okay.
Yeah.
See, the Lou Gehrig was this. Mm-hmm. Was this? It was bread. And then mm-hmm. never, I've told you this before, but
it's the, chicken parm.
Yeah, I'm still hungry.
Well, maybe.
It's definitely a chicken parm is what you're talking about.
Sure. Well, but were you asking about my love life? Is that the.
Yeah. So, you know, based on the Wikipedia, it seemed like you just had kind of like a, like, you know, you met a girl, you got married, and that was your life.
Right. Well,
but are
you
saying that there was a.
I mean, you can't.
There's
you
more.
Know, there's, well, yeah, Kepler's get me. Here's. You know, there's you date before you meet a wife, right?
Of course,
and
of course.
So I wasn't big for the spotlight. I wasn't a flashy guy like some of these other folk. But I did date a long descendant of, you know, Mary Todd Lincoln.
Of course.
So I dated her great granddaughter. She was very quiet.
Wow.
And wonderful. We had a very under wraps relationship.
Oh wow!
Ooh, you guys were on the DL.
We were on the disabled list is what we.
Oh.
I'm sorry, what?
My mistake.
Lou, even I know that is
that
really
is inaccurate.
The disabled list, we have in baseball the
DL, disabled list?
About a 10 or 15 day DL. Never
I didn't
mind.
Know that that's a thing in baseball.
Yeah, I never went on it. I was the iron horse, but that's
you went on it later,
right?
You know, towards the very end.
I think should call it the Lou Gehrig list.
They really should.
Better than a disease.
They really should. Yes. So you guys were on the down low. You weren't telling anybody about your relationship.
Down low. Yes.
You know,
down
you and Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yes, Mary Todd. Well, so her name wasn't Mary Todd Lincoln. It was Mary Todd Lincoln's great granddaughter.
Great granddaughter.
Yes.
What was her name?
Lincoln.
Her name was Lincoln.
Lincoln.
That's easy.
It was very easy to remember.
Just the one.
It was Lincoln, and she obviously changed her last name to Mary Todd. So it was Lincoln. It was Lincoln Mary Todd.
I'm confused.
Because she didn't want to be known as a Lincoln, right? Walking around, it's a difficult name. It's a lot of weight to carry.
I'm there. I understand. I'm there. Okay.
So it was Lincoln. So it was Miss Mary Todd.
Yeah, but things didn't work out with you and Lincoln.
What happened?
No, things did not work out with Lincoln.
Why?
Well, you see, there are differences in people, you know?
Is this like the sandwich? With a lot of different components.
You know, Kepler.
It sounds complicated.
I know you're a scientist, but you sound like a poet to me right now. Because you're speaking right
thank
to my
you.
Heart. And you know, it's not only a lot like a complicated sandwich, mm-hmm. but it actually, well, believe it or not, guys, it had to do with a complicated sandwich. Now, Lincoln Mary Todd, she grew up on my block.
Uh-huh.
And on my block, we had a corner deli. Have I told you about this?
I feel like I'm at the deli.
I'm so hungry.
It was rustic.
We could build this deli by the time this interview's over.
And let me tell you how to build her sandwich.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Bread.
Mm-hmm.
Pastrami.
Okay.
Mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Bread. Rye bread.
What?
Okay. You're never gonna guess what we call that sandwich now.
Well, we call it the Lincoln.
We call it a pastrami sandwich.
You call that a pastrami sandwich?
We call it a pastrami sandwich. Yeah, that's the name of it.
Holy phone. No cheese?
No cheese. Just pastrami, mustard, cheese? And rye bread. You don't get...
Oh, wow.
A pastrami sandwich. Well, how do you know that you want the mustard and the rye bread?
Mm-hmm. We just assume. We just assume. We say, I want a pastrami sandwich, and they automatically put those things on.
Well, that's the norm now.
Yeah, it is.
I don't have that much experience going to these bodegas, you know? But I should take a lesson from Lou over here. You can give me a pitching lesson and a bodega ordering sandwich lesson.
Well, I was a first baseman, but I can give you whatever lesson you want there.
Mm-hmm. See,
but
I need
you knew
more.
How to throw a ball.
Oh, well, of course I know
ball.
How to throw.
That's what I want to know.
I can teach you.
Great.
Yeah, I can teach you.
That's after this deli and pitching and throwing.
If you're just joining us, this is Famous Dead People on Radio Free Brooklyn, and my guests today are 17th century German mathematician and astronomer Johannes Kepler.
Hello.
And early 20th century baseball player Lou Gehrig.
Hello there. How are you?
Now, we were talking a little bit about your image, Johannes Kepler, a minute ago. You said that you had a little trouble with the ladies, right?
Oh, yes. When I was in high school, I loved this one teacher.
Oh,
I know that was honestly the problem is that it was a conflict. What do you conflict of interest?
Conflict of interest.
I was a student, 17.
Okay.
17. And she was 30.
She was 30.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I would call that a conflict of interest.
Oh, no?
Maybe just illegal.
It might be inappropriate.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
inappropriate.
Yeah. Okay. I can deal with that. Well, I think
conflict of interest would be like, you know, you want to have sex with your teacher.
Oh, well,
but
yes.
She's investing in a company that makes money when she doesn't have sex with you. That would be like a conflict of interest,
right.
I think.
That sounds a lot like the front office.
Well, to be clear, I did want to have sex with the teacher.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
And she, you know, she was actually a gym teacher.
Ooh.
So yes, she was very...
That body was tight.
Very physically attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I, like I have said, I am a little scrawny, you know?
Well, you put that body in a zoot suit and you get in there, right? I mean, that's got to be something good.
Yes, I do look good in a suit. I will say that. But I do. But under the suit, I need to work out, go to Planet Fitness, new gyms they have.
I kind of feel like you devoted your life to science.
Yes.
You devoted your life
for the gym.
You know, if you're gonna go and devote your and constantly be looking at the sky and doing theorems and writing numbers on paper, that should be enough.
Yes.
Right? You don't have to also then get your body into physical
shape. Thank you. This
shape,
is what
you know?
I try to tell the ladies, and sometimes it works, and they give me a pity bang, but then it's no long lasting, after that. And I really wanted a mate for a longer bang.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask you, because later on in your life, it seems like you had a little bit more success. Like, you know, towards the end of your life, your wife, Barbara, she died of Hungarian spotted fever. And then 2 years later, you remarried to a woman named Susan. But according to the Wikipedia, and correct me if I'm wrong, you considered 11 different women over those 2 years before deciding on Susanna. Is that right?
I don't even know who would make up this. No, I'm just kidding. Let's keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
I have a way with words, you know, not the body.
This is evident just based on the amount of time that I've spent with you now.
Oh, thank you.
You have a golden tongue. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
You're a real smooth talker.
You're speaking prose.
thank you both very much. But, you know, I wish that they named my Barbara's death the Barbara, you know, that disease as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. The thing that killed Barbara, the Hungarian spotted disease.
Yes, I wish they would call it the Barbara spotted.
That would have been nice.
I feel that.
Then we would call that Barbara's disease.
I'm all about the fame.
Barbara Kepler's disease.
Yes,
that would have been
Kepler.
Nice.
You got to get the Kepler in there.
But so you, did you really like meet with 11 different women?
Well, keep going back to the women. You know, I just no. I this is a thing that I think. It's a misconception, you know, how I'm sure Lou knows you don't want to be called a player.
No.
Yeah.
Except on the ball field.
You want to, or baseball. Yeah, exactly.
It was, I had luck in the later life, but I wish when I was sexually aroused in high school, that's, you know, that's when the hot iron is strike.
Yeah.
Strike the hot iron.
You want to be a tomcat when you're young, when you got energy.
In the prime.
Exactly. In your prime, you know, you were an old man by the time you're meeting all these women, you know.
A little slow in the cottage bedroom.
The cottage bedroom.
Yes. You should see pictures of my cottage in Germany. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Was it nice?
Beautiful. Oh, my goodness. I had a lot of money.
That's for, you know, planetary exploration. It wasn't a bad gig.
Cha-ching.
That's right.
Cha-ching. That's the sound the planets make. Let's go back to Lou Gehrig for just a moment. So you started getting attention for your ability as a ball player around senior year of high school.
Sure.
You were about to attend Columbia on a football scholarship.
Yes.
But the manager for the New York Giants approached you before your first semester, convinced you to play baseball over the summer under a fake name.
Yeah.
But then after playing like a dozen games, you were discovered and then banned from playing college football as a freshman.
Yeah.
So I just want to be clear about something, that because you were on a football scholarship, you were then not allowed to play baseball like professionally. Like that was a part of your contract, was that you couldn't.
Well, it was that, you know, right, it was while being a full-time student I couldn't be, you know.
Yeah,
that, but it's, but it, and it would have gone smooth, it would have gone real smooth, but I was 18 and I, you know, you make mistakes at 18.
Don't you? Hey, we all, that's
preaching to the choir.
Common story.
Thank you. I mean, we've all been through it. Now the coach of the New York Giants at the time, he and I had came up with a fake name for myself, an alias to play. And you know, we just didn't think it through all the way.
What was the fake name?
It was bad. I'm just going to warn you. It was bad.
Okay. Yeah. No, go ahead and tell us.
Hot dog, socks and kins.
Hot dog, socks and kins.
There's such a bodega vibe happening over here. I'm so hungry. I should have eaten before this.
So we had actually just been. Did I tell you, I grew up on a block with a corner deli.
You mentioned this deli many times.
Oh, okay. I'm glad.
Yeah, we're aware
of
the deli.
It's an important part of my life.
Yeah.
We had just been to the deli to have the meeting. So I went by hot dog, socks, and kins. That was a dead giveaway, especially because I wore a big hot dog hat on my head.
Okay.
As opposed to a normal baseball hat, which was the wrong decision.
I gotta say that I don't think that was the wrong decision, because if you're a baseball player named Hot Dog Socks and Kins, and you wear a hot dog hat, people think that's just part of your brand.
Well, that's the thing. I got too much attention. My brand at the time was, well, players didn't really have brands. You ever heard of Mordecai Three Finger Brown?
Mordecai Three Fingered Brown.
If I'm
going to hazard guess, just going to shoot from the hip here,
yep,
a three-fingered Jewish baseball player.
Hey, right on the nose.
Three fingers.
That's amazing. For having limited baseball, that's incredible. Now,
I thought I had his best.
Right. Well, so Mordecai, he's in the Hall of Fame, but he got a lot of attention for the right things. You know, he came from a rough up. But then there were other baseball players that we took lessons from at the time to not be quite as so flashy. And then, of course, Babe and Joe came along. But certain players, you know, in the early 1900s, have you heard of Marty, I Have a Tail Williams?
Marty, I Have a Tail Williams.
So Marty's big thing was that he had a tail.
If I was working in his branding department, I would have said that's a little on the nose.
You would think so.
How big is this tail?
Unmistakable. I mean, so big it slowed him down. He had to catch. He was a catcher.
From what distance would you be able to tell that this was a man who had a tail?
Anywhere in the stands, even on the radio.
In the nose.
Even on the radio.
Because the announcers, if they weren't gagging, they would say something about. I mean, there's no mistaking. It's about a, I would say, a 6 foot long tail that follows him.
Wow.
And he was a mean baseball. I mean, he was
How
good.
How tall was he?
He was 4 foot 11.
4 foot 11.
He was 4 foot 11.
Tail
with 6 foot
was 10. Taller than
yes.
he was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right. He was a short guy. That's the thing. He was a very, he was an outrageous looking character. And so I should have known better than to follow him.
Because people,
like
they
that.
See that guy and they ask a lot of questions. You were trying to questions. Avoid those questions.
Right. And I'm an honest man. Mm-hmm. I'm an honest
you
man.
Can't
I'm
not, lie.
I can tell. I can tell you're a very honest man.
Thank
so
you.
Someone comes
Thank
up to you, they're like, hey, hot dog, I work for Columbia.
Yeah.
You look a lot like this kid, Lou Gehrig, that we got playing football for us.
This conversation is uncanny.
And then
this
you
is,
said,
And then
what?
I said, sir, you're right. I said, I right away, I took off the hot dog hat. There was mm-hmm. nothing I could do. I was completely disarmed. I'm a man of my word. My
you
family
should have said,
me
never
up
heard of him.
I wish I had.
That would have been good.
I wish I had. Oh. I wish I had. But instead, I succumbed to that and I had to delay my
baseball
career. I
used to make up names sometimes at the bar.
Oh.
Yes, I would say my name is Felipe.
No,
that was
kidding.
Always.
Felipe.
Yes, that was my bar name. That's what they do, you know?
Wow.
And what for
Kepler's
those
name? Felipe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. For my one night stands, is that what you call it? The pity bang I was?
This is
Felipe.
Oh.
That was my. My alias.
Were right. you? Mm-hmm. Would you adopt like an accent when you were doing Felipe, or would you just be still be doing your regular German accent?
Yes. Do you want to hear?
Your Felipe.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Maybe we should be like a couple of girls at a bar.
Sure.
And then you could like approach us as Felipe.
Yeah.
Great.
And we'll see. We'll see how. We'll see some of this epic game in action.
Yeah, sure. Right. So we'll be talking at the bar.
Yeah,
or we'll, okay,
yeah.
sure.
Oh, man, yeah, really excited about.
Really, yeah.
Hey,
know,
ladies.
Going to, oh my oh, god!
How, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, oh, Daddy-o, wow!
My is, god! I'm hey. Sorry, I have to break character for a moment. Yeah. That is Johannes.
That was
mm-hmm.
that is the sexiest voice I've ever heard in my life.
I really get into it when I'm Felipe, ladies.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That is unbelievable.
You have to go down into these throats.
Into the back
throats.
Of your voice.
Yes.
There.
If that helps, it's all.
Wow. That has got to be how you manage to attract 11 women to audition for your
yes.
wife later
and
on in life.
Yes, but yes.
Yeah.
That is. Well, listen, we have to take a break pretty shortly, but I wanted to ask you, Johannes Kepler, mm-hmm. a little more sort of like lean back into the science question just a little
oh,
bit.
Yes. That.
So as we discussed earlier, you were a little bit of a rebel in the science community because you would incorporate God
mm-hmm.
into your theories. And so just in layman's terms, before we go to break, could you describe for us how you argued that the Earth revolving around the sun was part of God's plan or was, you know, like justified in the Bible?
Of course I can, Jared. Mm-hmm. So I always thank God for my intelligent brain
mm-hmm,
inside
mm-hmm.
of my body.
Of course.
And the way that I thought about this is the sun has a lot of power. Power?
Okay.
Sunlight. And I thought, well, the sun being so powerful cannot revolve around us. That's selfish, you know, of us,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to give it. It wasn't even science. It was just a general thought I had.
Okay.
And I was right.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow.
Okay.
This is also a pick. What I'm telling you now is also a pickup line at the bar as Felipe.
Ooh. So you would be like, you know, it's powerful things that other things revolve around.
Right.
You know, and then the women. And so I guess the subtext there is that I'm a powerful thing that
right.
you should revolve around?
Absolutely. There's no way around that.
Mm.
That is
oh.
exactly what you see
this
what
is,
I did there.
I like this because also we're talking about, you know, the law of gravity.
Sure.
There's like a pull.
See, now you're
you,
getting it. It's
you
not
know?
About not exactly about the science. It's mm. about your mind and just thinking correctly.
I see. Oh. I see. Now, you did believe, though, that God had a geometrical plan for the universe. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Would you mind touching on that before
I
go to break?
Yes. It was in a dream I had.
Okay.
This is what I do. I don't know if this happens to you at all, but sometimes I'll be dreaming and I would make a grocery list in my head of things I have to pick up at the deli. I'm sure you know.
Oh, I
agree. But one night, instead of dreaming about my to-dos the next day, I dreamt up a scientific plan. And I woke up and I got out my little ink pen with the feather, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I immediately started going at it like an artist. And I just wrote everything down so I would not forget. And mm-hmm. then that was it. I never dreamt it again. It was on the paper.
Wow.
I know. It was like, I am a prophet.
Ooh,
I really think this.
Wow.
I'm being completely honest.
I mean, it really sounds like you didn't do a lot of science
life.
It's
not
really
about
seems
the science.
Like you're shooting from the hip here.
You have to feel it in your gut.
Of course.
Well, that's the thing. You're like I said, you're a poet. You know,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unfortunately, we got to take a short break, but we will get into all this when we come back. We will be right back with Lou Gehrig and Johannes Kepler on Famous Dead People. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. Just want to take a quick break to remind you to subscribe to Famous Dead People on iTunes or whatever app you are using to listen to podcasts. Rate us 5 stars, leave a comment, tell your friends. All that stuff helps us out a ton. And feel free to hit us up at famousdeadpeople@radiofreebrooklyn.org if you want a specific famous dead person on the show or if you have any comments that you want to shoot over to us. Whatever. We love hearing from fans. Also, check out my book, The Kellyanne Conway Technique. It is out now. It is hilarious. I hope that you will check that out and read that and leave reviews, awesome reviews on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or whatever, and tell your friends to read it because it's super funny and I want that money. Also, go check out jarrettbernstein.com for all the latest on my show dates and up-to-date project information. And lastly, if you really like Famous Dead People and you want to send us some money to help keep the show on the air, go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/famousdeadpeople and click on the Support the Show button. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the podcast.
Welcome back to Famous Dead People on Radio Free Brooklyn. Famous Dead People, the only show that resurrects famous people from the grave and asks them all the hard questions. I'm your host, Jarrett Berenstein, and we are here every Monday at 3 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn. My guests in the studio today are 17th century German mathematician and best known for his laws of planetary motion, Johannes Kepler.
Get it right, Jarrett.
Don't get it twisted. And early 20th century baseball player, renowned for his prowess as a hitter, voted the greatest first baseman of all time, Lou Gehrig.
Lucky to be here.
So going back to Johannes Kepler for just a moment. So in 1595, you're 24 years old. You already have an incredible career as an astronomer underway. You're introduced to a woman named Barbara Muller.
Oh, yes.
You begin to court.
Oh, is that what's it? Yes, sure.
You know,
whatever you want to call it. Court. Okay.
Now, Barbara was a very wealthy woman at the time, even though she was 23 years old only. She was already a widow twice over. Now, I understand that life expectancy was shorter back then in the 16th century, that people got married earlier back then. But were you at all concerned that you were about to marry a woman who already had buried two other husbands?
I'm glad you bring this up. I never really get to talk about this subject too much. I still, as you know, Barbara passed away. So we did not get a divorce. I still, you know, she has a place in my heart. And yes, but it was a concern because I thought, I am one of the smartest men alive at the time, as we say, power. And I'm being honest here. I told you my science plan. I wrote down the prophecy.
Of course.
God sent me my dream. And I thought I can't die. But I, you know, I always internalized that. And I am lucky to be back alive. Here we are.
Of course.
In this podcast. Yeah. But yes, that was a big concern for mine. I think the other two men were not as smart as me.
They're not as smart as
you. Yeah, they
are you saying that you used your smarts to keep Barbara from murdering you the way that she maybe murdered her other two husbands?
Wow. Well, for the record, if any policemen are listening, no.
Well, this is hundreds of years ago.
Okay.
Of course, there's no, you know, if we brought Barbara back, you know, she wouldn't be held accountable for those murders. You can be honest if you know the truth about her previous husbands.
Let's just say I do have a geographical location of where their bodies are buried, if you know what I mean.
Yes. So not only did the husbands die, their bodies disappeared.
I didn't say it, Jarrett. Didn't say disappear.
You don't need to be coy, Johannes. There's going to be no repercussions. Even if you came in here and said that you murdered them, there would be no repercussions.
Okay, I tell you something. I murdered. Yes.
Wow.
You murdered her husbands.
Yes, but it was, I felt it was necessary.
Okay.
Sure.
This is another thing. The dream came to me after I had been courting Barbara.
Okay.
And I thought, I can't let other men get in the way. She obviously has an effect on my intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And I need more of that energy.
I see.
Boom! They did.
Wow.
Wow.
Wait, so you didn't actually murder them. You just sort of like willed it into existence.
Well, let's just... I paid the guy.
You paid the guy to murder them.
Sure.
Yes.
It was slightly different.
I don't know, Lou, if this is offensive. He was Italian. Are you Italian at all?
I'm half Italian, but not offensive at all. No,
I'm just making sure. I don't want
to, you know, this day and age with what's happening. I got my new driver's license and I had to check male or female, and I thought, wow, there's a lot happening. This is the controversy, even at the DMV.
Mm-hmm. Really? That's right. That's right. That's incredible. I had no idea how in touch with your own sort of like metaphysical, you know, life.
You know,
and spirituality
I think God would. It was, once again, I'm a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
I truly, right. And it was destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And they helped with the rest of the world and going to space. It was, if it wasn't for those two dead men, we probably wouldn't be here on this podcast.
Yeah, then Neil Armstrong wouldn't have landed on the moon.
Right. One thing leads to another.
Right, well. That's right. A butterfly flapping its wings. Let's go back to Lou Gehrig for just a moment.
Sure.
So you had a nickname, the Iron Horse.
Yes. Yeah.
I read a little bit about this on the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But it was a little vague. Do you know why people started calling you the Iron Horse?
So I know why they started in the first place, and then I know why it stuck.
Okay.
But what does it say in Wikipedia?
The Wikipedia just says that you were very reliable.
Right. Well,
I had the hitter.
I had the games played streak for a while. I was called the Iron Horse before that, though. People don't know that. I came into the game with the Iron Horse nickname.
Interesting. So before you were a baseball player?
Before I was a baseball player.
Okay.
Before I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was very stubborn. Very stubborn.
Mm.
And I was very sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
I was an athlete. You couldn't push me over.
You couldn't push you over.
You couldn't push me over. That's speaking from urgency. And you know,
good
I don't
for
mean,
you.
You look well, Mr.
Thank
Kemmel.
You. I have.
They say this
so
was a
much.
Problem for you when you were growing up, Johannes Kepler, that people would just push you over because of how lanky you are.
How many times did I mop the floor with my teeth?
Right. Yeah. No, you can tell you were bullied as a child.
Mm-hmm. Lots of bruises.
It just kind of seems like, just looking at you, like you have a very high center of mass, like very easily tip overable. Is that a fair thing to say?
You know, let's not get into that because that is a sore. You are absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. That's a scientific thing inside my body. Not a lot of people know that.
Sure. You know what? I wouldn't have noticed that. It looks like the center of his gravity is sort of like, almost in his Adam's apple. It's totally out of whack, right in the throat.
Yeah,
and
yes.
I gotta say, you know, it's a little bit like those inflatable balls that you knock over and they sort of like pop back up. Like,
yes,
like just knowing
people have caught me this. What would you call this?
I don't know.
I know what you are saying.
We call them the Aaron Bishop's doll.
No,
because there was this guy named Aaron Bishop who invented it.
Oh,
and so now we just call it the Aaron Bishop.
Aaron Bishop.
Wow, does he have a disease named after him too?
No, but he had a sandwich.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Oh,
and now he's got a doll.
Yeah, interesting.
That's funny that we.
I just like looking at your. I just want to tip you over.
I want to tip you
weird.
Over.
Weird.
I want to.
Wow, this explains a lot. This is what happens a lot in Germany. People just come and tip me over.
And just tip you over.
I thought it was mean. Maybe it was their destiny. You know, I can't judge. I killed two people.
Mm-hmm. Right. You hired an Italian man.
Yes. Well, right.
16th
century Germany. I didn't say that, Jerry. Yes, you are correct. I just
want to clarify for the listeners.
Right.
Thank you. Yes, not to judge. Yeah, it was. I did not kill. I hired a man.
You hired an Italian man.
Thank you for clarifying.
To kill one man who was married to a girl that you were in love with, and then she married somebody else, and then I'm assuming that same Italian person killed that dude as well.
Oh, your 20s. I mean, whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, I feel, yeah. No,
you know.
Sure.
You make a lot of mistakes in your 20s.
Oof, oh,
good
man.
So you're saying Iron Horse couldn't be knocked over.
Couldn't be knocked over. And that was a thing. I'd sort of, you know, I was a popular kid.
All right.
So the kids, I'd say, push me over. You know, I'd tell them, I'd stand with my knees bent in the cafeteria, and the kids would come over and say, push me over. Try to push me over. And if they couldn't, I got to punch them square in the face, square in the mouth. Yeah,
fun game.
And it was a favorite of everyone, and they called it the Iron Horse because I was so durable.
Gotcha. If I was a kid back then, yeah, I wouldn't try to tip you over.
You say that there wasn't a lot to do back then
because nobody could tip you over,
right,
and the punishment was so severe. It would be a punch in the face,
right? But the reward was so glorious.
What was the of tipping you over?
Yes.
Did really anybody fun. Tip you over?
No.
Was it no one?
No, no one ever wow. did.
I see. Okay.
So no one got to know what the reward was. But,
yeah, but know. I'm assuming it was great then.
It was great.
What was the reward? Did I miss? What was the reward?
Well, so the reward was then they would take my spot.
Oh.
Or they would just get your powers of not being tip overable.
Well, it's not it's literally, very literally just that they would sort of a
your spot in the cafeteria.
Right.
In
they
line.
Would, they would be able to stand there.
Oh.
And then they would be, and then in that situation,
see,
then
yes.
they would be the reigning king.
The king, yes.
They
yes,
would be called
course.
The Iron Horse.
I understand.
And then people would try to push them over.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's a big, and then if they couldn't push them mm-hmm. over, they would get.
They would probably be a lot easier to push over then, right?
Oh, most certainly.
So you would just win again.
Safe after, game for okay, me. This, very yes, safe game.
Yeah, it's sort of like King of the Mountain, but then like there's one kid that's like always up there.
Yes.
Even if you dethrone him, he gets up there, knocks you off, and then he's back on
that's
there.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
We, so wow. now, for a while, we called that Lou Gehrig's game. But we had to change it. We had to change it.
To King of the Hill.
To King of the right.
Yeah, I understand. Now, speaking of nicknames, so you played almost all your career with the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
You were part of the famed Murderer's Row.
Yeah, that's funny. This
1927 Yankees yeah. lineup, Babe Ruth, Earl Combs, Mark Koenig, Tony Lazzari. Mm. Do you remember, same question to the Iron Horse.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they started referring to you guys as the Murderer's Row? Was there a specific game? Was there a specific incident? Like, how did that come about?
You're getting into some tough stuff.
Again, with the police.
No consequences here,
right,
guys.
Right.
Zero consequences.
And I understand. I want to open up to you, Jared, because mm-hmm. I trust you.
Yeah.
The Murderer's Row, it's a lot like the Iron Horse nickname, where people think it's attributed to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, it's a whole other story. So
here's what we think it is, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
It's because you guys were really good hitters.
We were great hitters.
And it was hard to win a game against
and
you guys.
That's exactly why it stuck, Jared. You're very perceptive. And that's why we were the murderers of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now the real reason why is because we all...
This sounds juicy.
let me tell you this. Babe and Tony and Earl and I, we grew up... On the same block,
mm-hmm. Little deli on the corner.
That's funny. Have I talked about
my stomach has been growling every time the block
Johannes,
and the bodega and the deli comes up.
We will get you food after
we
the
will.
Show. Oof, I promise we will get you food after the show.
We gotta check up town. It's
Felipe is hungry as well.
You know the Felipe. Oh
yeah,
my
heart's
sounds like Felipe's
alias.
Yeah.
We gotta feed that dick.
Right. Yes, Felipe.
Hey guys.
Oh, there he is.
Put that away.
I'm hungry.
Oh,
so you were saying.
That's right.
River.
Yes.
So we had a deli, as you know. We had a lot of no pun intended. We had a lot of beef with the with the deli owner, who was a man named Mr. Conigliaro.
Mm.
Now, Mr. Conigliaro, his son Tony Conigliaro, he played for the Sox. Now, Mr. Conigliaro, he would always put our sandwiches on the board. He would always charge us. Oh. He would overcharge us. It's not a big deal. But at the time, baseball players, we weren't making that much money.
Mm.
And so we decided to, it was a high stakes situation at that point. Yeah, we all grew up together, like I said, and this is the only reality we knew. So we decided to come together in the dead of night. We knew Mr. Conigliaro would clean the inventory mm-hmm. late at night. Usually in the nude is why we knew that. Because and that's why we knew that, because the block would say, please stay away from the deli. Too late at night. They tell us,
right,
kids. Mr. Conigliari is in there cleaning up naked.
Having a good time.
He cleans naked and he whistles and he dances around with his mop. It was very, he actually had a, some people said he had a little singing cricket. It was a very.
Interesting.
We didn't see it when, so the next part of the story, we went in one night while he was doing this.
Oh.
Anyone guess our weapon of choice?
Oh.
Was it a baseball bat?
You would think.
Was it a bratwurst?
You would think. It was, you would think it was a baseball bat. A bratwurst would be an interesting find for us.
Mm-hmm.
The it was a gun. So it was a gun.
Okay.
Never would have thought that coming.
And we went in there. We stormed in there. We said, Mr. Conigliaro, No one was around. It was dark. Everyone knows to avoid the deli at night. We said, Mr. Conigliaro, mm-hmm. we're going to give you a choice here. These are some of your most loyal customers. We were 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
We've
playing
all been.
Playing professionally for the Yankees.
Playing professionally
yeah.
for the New York
okay,
Yankees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is before Columbia. No, there were no rules.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We went in there. Mr. Conigliaro, you have a choice to make. We're some of your most loyal customers. You can either stop overcharging us. And it wasn't, and by the way, in all fairness, it wasn't overcharging us by a lot. It was mostly accidental. It was a 50 cents here and there from a bag of chips.
Oh.
He said, you can either stop overcharging us, we're going to shoot you on the spot.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Now, other people said, Mr. Conigliaro, he didn't hear us because of the record player.
Oh.
But what he did was so lewd. He decided, he then put the mop sort of underneath his... In between his legs,
like a witch,
like a witch, or like you know those toy horses.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Of course.
So he did that. He put it right underneath, and brought it back and forth, and sort of singing along to the tune.
I understand.
Kind of like humping
sort
the
of
mop
like,
a little bit,
like a humping the mop,
like a horny witch would do,
like a horny
and
witch.
She was flying around.
That's exactly right.
Gotcha.
And so we take offense, of course.
Yeah, and then you shoot him, then you murder him.
And we murdered him, and it got around. We live on a small block, so we were then called.
Wow, you murdered the deli guy, and that's why they called you the Murderer's Row.
Yeah,
interesting.
I mean, I can't judge. You know, I cannot judge you.
You know,
it might have been your destiny. It might have been his time. Heaven could not wait for him.
I am surprised. I am very surprised by how often this is coming up, because I have this other question here to ask you, Johannes Kepler, about this man that you met named Tycho Brahe.
Oh, yes.
In 1600.
Yes.
He has an observatory.
Yes.
And you're in negotiations to join him, to get hired to work at this observatory.
Yes.
But then there's like this argument, and the negotiations break down for a little bit.
Yes.
You eventually patched things up, but I was wondering, the Wikipedia doesn't say what the argument was about, what the problem was during the negotiations. Do you remember?
Do you want to take a guess?
I mean, here's the thing, is that
it's either
this man eventually dies under suspicious circumstances.
I didn't say it, Jared.
And so I have to ask, would you physically threaten this person? Did you mention the murders or something?
I think Felipe did, to be honest.
Oh, there
interesting.
Is.
Yes, that's my...
I gotta be honest, if Felipe threatened me, I would not be scared. I'd be too turned on to
be
scared.
I would be very excited.
Let's keep it real. Okay, so my Italian friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, the argument was about a woman, okay?
Interesting.
We fought over a woman who we saw this woman. She was looking out of the telescope, and I said, I want her. You know, plain as day. Three words, I want her. And he said he wanted her too. And so this escalated for probably about a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And in those couple hours, I'm very impulsive man, if you have not, could not tell.
With no,
the
definitely.
Dreams and the killing and I'm still hungry. I sent a little call out. We didn't have phones back then, but I got my Italian guy to come over and... Well, it wasn't right there because I didn't want to have the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm telling you, and you said it's okay.
But
so
you basically had this Italian guy threaten Tycho.
Right.
And that got you the job.
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, the woman, now that I think about it, wasn't even that big of a deal. I never saw her again. It's just a power play, you know. It's just a thing with other... Lou, I think you know what I'm talking
about. Oh, sure.
You know, it's just you have to win.
You have to win.
You have to win.
That's the important part of this. And it sounds like you put your best effort in as well.
There's a lot of chest thumping when where men are concerned.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important that we assert ourselves.
Sure.
You know?
I didn't even get the girl, but, you know, I got the yub.
You got the yub.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so much. We're not that far away from our ape-like ancestors, you know? We're still animals at heart.
Completely agree.
You know?
Very archaic.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is Famous Dead People on Radio Free Brooklyn, and my guest today, our early 20th century baseball player, Lou Gehrig.
Hello there.
And 17th century German mathematician and astronomer, Johannes Kepler.
Hi there.
So, you know, your Italian friend threatens Tycho. You get the job.
Yes.
You eventually start working for him there, but then he dies, and you are appointed his successor, which leads to you just working at the facility for like 11 years.
That the successor, Jarrett, that was not a coincidence, if you know what I mean.
See, I was dancing around that when I originally wrote these questions.
I could feel the vibe.
It becomes obvious, like after talking to you for like 5 minutes, they basically just murdered anybody who got in your
way.
Well,
not everyone, you know, but. That was fun.
Yeah. Did your wife die of Hungarian spotted fever, or did
yes,
you
no,
hire
she
the Italian?
Definitely died.
She died of Hungarian spotted fever.
Oh, of course. That. I love my wife. My
no, you
wife,
your wife,
Barbara. No.
God
rest her soul.
I see. Let's move back over to Lou Gehrig for just a moment. So in 1936, your wife convinces you to hire Babe Ruth's agent.
Yeah.
And the agent urges you to audition for the role of Tarzan in an upcoming movie.
Of Tarzan?
Yes. Yeah. You don't get the part, but there was a promotional photo of you in a loincloth that circulated. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, were you excited about being an actor, or were you just sort of like following the lead, like, oh, Babe Ruth's doing this, maybe I should do this, you know? Was this a... Were you excited about making the transition from athlete to actor?
Well, I was a singer.
You were a singer?
Oh. I was a singer.
That is nowhere on the Wikipedia.
I know.
Secrets,
and they wouldn't put that. They hadn't, I don't think, I've now, Tarzan's a favorite of mine. And I'm not sure if they've.
Me too.
If they, no kidding.
I recently, now that I'm back, I saw the Disney one.
Yes.
You know?
With what's his name?
Collins, what's his last name that sings that song? You know this.
Oh, you're talking about the animated one.
Yes. I watched it on a VHS.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me how I found that.
I've seen that, and they have great music.
Yeah, great music in the Tarzan
great
movie.
Music.
So I know your love for Tarzan. I love that movie.
Yeah.
But obviously, this was a silent movie, or when they had talkies back then in 1936. Yeah, they were doing talkies about that point.
They were doing talkies, but this one was silent. This one was supposed to be a silent. So it wasn't my...
Vintage.
It was very vintage. They were doing sort of a throwback to when Tarzan... was truly Tarzan. I'm somewhat of a Tarzan purist. I'm sorry.
I see.
But the songs now bring him to life and color.
Oh my goodness.
They didn't have any. It wasn't the role for me.
Mm.
They wanted to see me in that loincloth, of course. But it wasn't. I didn't get to show my pipes.
Junk?
Yeah.
I
actually have a question. Did you have to audition with this loincloth on?
No, I did not. That was a choice.
Oh.
That was a choice.
And do you wear anything under this?
Yes, I wore underwear.
Oh, okay.
Underneath the loincloth.
Good.
Just like Tarzan did.
Oh, okay.
People don't know
just
that about
curious.
Tarzan, that he had underwear.
He wore briefs.
He wore a loincloth over
very
underwear.
Smart.
Yeah.
Because he needed to look like he was an animal to fit in with the other animals.
Of course.
That just makes sense.
My mind is blown.
This is a really interesting arc for you, Lou Gehrig, that you're this purist, you're this Tarzan purist, so you can't talk or sing, but you are also a singer.
Right.
And
here's the thing is hearing Tarzan now, I wasn't the right kind of singer.
Ooh,
what kind of singer
were you?
Sort of deep metal.
It wasn't in your wheelhouse.
Deep metal.
Yeah. It wasn't in my wheelhouse.
I didn't understand that was a genre at the time.
It was just on the up and up. It was. I was in a lot of underground scenes in New York playing
the CBGBs
Yankee.
Of the day.
CBG. Oh, yeah. Yes. Speaking my language, Jared. So it was a lot of, screaming. Screaming as we do in the community.
Now, you did eventually play yourself in a movie called Rawhide. Do you remember the movie Rawhide? And your role as yourself in Rawhide?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was the role of a lifetime.
Yeah,
it was Lou Gehrig's role.
Yeah.
That's what they called it in the credits. And that was a dream. That's what I actually most wanted to be remembered by.
Then Lou Gehrig in Lou Gehrig's role.
As Lou Gehrig's role. Lou Gehrig.
I see.
Now, that's as titular as you can get.
I love that. This very cocky.
Yes.
You know, I play myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everything.
Well, you know, I want to bring a degree of earnesty, of course, but yes.
Very honest man over here.
Thank you.
Prophecy.
What was the plot? What was your role in the movie?
The plot, Rawhide, was it's about a dog who followed his sort of, much like you following your urgency to kill.
To kill and to
go after that woman that you're passionate about. And take out the obstacles in your way.
Mm-hmm.
This dog sought after one thing more than anything in the world. That was a rawhide.
You know,
bone.
I actually, to piggyback off, I heard they filmed part of this movie in the bodega that you grew up in.
Oh my God, is
right,
that true?
The deli.
Well, it was a deli.
I can confuse the bodegas and the, yes, of
yeah,
course.
No, that's all right. I grew up, right.
I remembered this.
On a block.
Yeah, yeah. We know about the deli.
Oh, the corner deli. I've mentioned the corner deli.
So this dog really wants this rawhide bone.
All right. We filmed a lot of the scenes
around. And how do you fit into this story with about this dog?
I have the rawhide bone.
You have it.
I have the rawhide bone.
Oh, you're the
bone.
Antagonist.
I'm the right. Well, I'm sort of the antagonist, but you know, there's always two sides to a story.
Oh, please.
And I consider, of course, my perspective to be the hero. Rawhide's very bad for dogs' teeth, so I was keeping it away.
I did not.
Yes, we come from a big dog family. My dog, his name was Lou Gehrig's dog.
Lou
he
Gehrig's
was a
dog,
great,
yeah.
great pup.
I named my dog Kepler as well. I know how. Yes.
Oh, you named your dog Kepler?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
so
I had a cat.
Keplers.
You and I had a lot in common.
I had the cat named Joanna.
Joanna Kepler.
No kidding.
Joanna and Kepler.
Just the singular, not Johannes. That's my name.
Right.
Don't get crazy. Okay?
Well, it's a cat. Yeah. It's a cat.
It's a cat.
Okay. You got to have some nod to it. Yeah. So I was protecting the dog from his own, you know, ne'er-do-well.
That's a great twist. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like you think he's the bad guy because he won't give him the rawhide, but it turns out the rawhide's bad for the dog.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. What a savvy bit of filmmaking from back then, you know?
Yeah. You know, so they tried to do my character right by me, and I worked with the writers well to make sure they got my dialect correct, and you know, it worked out. It worked out okay.
I heard that movie's great.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we are quickly running out of time here.
Just time
for one more question, I think. So let's toss it over to Johannes Kepler for a moment.
All right.
So in 1611, you wrote a manuscript called Somnium, which describes how you believe the view of the universe would be different from other planets.
Yes.
This manuscript has since disappeared, but according to the Wikipedia, it was part autobiography, part allegory, and it sort of like described this fictional trip to the moon, which kind of makes it the first recorded work of science fiction. Do you remember this story that you wrote?
I do, yes. This was a little bit of another dream, if you will, that came to me.
It sounds like you did very little science.
It's about yourself.
And just kind of writing down fanciful ideas that you had.
Yes, and people, well, I was going to say people believe it, but it's also true.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, this, one of my greatest works, if you will, it is not to be found anywhere.
Yes, it was lost.
I don't know who took it, and I am, as you say, pissed off.
Okay.
I would be too, yeah.
Yeah, and Barbara, we just had got done making the love, and I felt inspired, and I sat down with my little feather pen and the ink, and I just went for it, you know? And I wrote this whole story, and I talked about myself, and I talked about Felipe.
Interesting.
You did.
And I also, another reason maybe it's not around is I talk about me killing the guy, the Italian guy that
the
kills
Italian guy killing. Yeah.
As you say, writers, I frame it a different way, you know?
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that maybe you got rid of this so that you would not be held accountable for all the murders that you hired this Italian guy to do for you.
Jared, you can tell I'm a smart man. I'm not saying I did, but I thought they had a copy. Back then you could make a copy, but I don't know where they are.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I am, once again, pissed off.
I see.
Of course.
Remind me
the title of the book. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. The title was called Universal Felicikil.
Universal Felicikil.
Yes.
That must be what the translation of Somnium is.
Yeah. I just would have, I'm just surprised we didn't call it Kepler's book, but that's
a
great
title. Oh no, I was trying.
Perfect.
I was trying to do the cover up,
right?
If you will, so nobody. I never said I wrote it. I used different alias names.
Yeah, you're a man of humility. That's
okay. Interesting. Wow, that is an incredible tale. Just very quickly because we're running out of time. How did all that work into a story about a fictional trip to the moon?
Oh, right. Well, you know, I had got done the making the love to my wife, and it felt very euphoric at the time.
Yeah.
And I was, as an astronomer and astrologer, I was thinking about what if I was having sex in a different planet, what it would be like? And I thought, oh, what does Earth look like from a different way, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I went and we made love again. And then I came back.
Ooh,
it was a whole evening.
Really? Good recovery time. That's incredible.
Well, I was making up for high school when I wanted...
We call that Kepler's recovery time.
Kepler's recovery. Yes, sir.
Yes. Name everything after me. I'll take it. Yeah. So that's what inspired it, really, was my... I tell you, my wife, Barbara, she really inspired a lot of my work. And that's why I killed the other two guys.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow, that is incredible. So I guess what you're... So if I could summarize for you...
Yes.
This was a book that was about you... making love to your wife three times.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Going to the moon, and then while on the moon, confessing that you had an Italian man murder a bunch of people for you.
That's the gist of it, Jared.
Sounds incredible. Yeah. It's really a shame that we don't have a copy of that. And unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for this week's episode of Famous Dead People. Well, I'd like to thank my guests, Johannes Kepler and Lou Gehrig, for joining me in the studio today. We'll get you some food. I know you're starving.
Thank you so much.
I have a good deli.
I am your host, Jared Berenstein. You can check out all my stuff at jaredberenstein.com. Buy my book, The Kellyanne Conway Technique. It is out now and it's hilarious. If you are listening to this on the radio, please find the podcast. We got all the old episodes on there. Rate and review. Leave a comment. Hit us up at famousdeadpeople@radioforbrooklyn.org. We love hearing from fans. We're here every Monday at 3 p.m. on Radio for Brooklyn. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hello, my name is Johannes Kepler, and I am looking for my chapstick, but I can't find it. You know, Lou, I love baseball. I love baseball so
is that right?
much. Yes, when I was a child, I would play with my balls.
No kidding.
Yeah, like, yes.
Tell
I know
more
you
about
only
that.
Use one.
Yeah.
But I liked the two, the both of them.
Do you use all of the balls?